Coming back. Bringing it back. You guys, something that is endlessly confusing to me is like time, like time zones. Twice in the past 2 weeks, I've scheduled a meeting with someone and they've said, I'm in Eastern time. And so I've said, oh yeah, great, let's meet at 10 o'clock your time because that's 1 o'clock my time. No. So twice I've had 7 a.m. meetings where I had to pretend like I was already awake. And then today, with the time change, I was like, so the sun usually rises at 6 and we spring 4. Now does it rise at 5 or 4 or 7? And I still don't know. And that was this morning. So that is not what we're talking about this morning, though. So we are in the book of Mark. We had finally made it to chapter 2. Woo! How many of you know we're even in the book of Mark? Corey, like sometimes Corey and I always talk about this. I'm like, they're just going with it. We're all just going with it. So we're in the book of Mark, and here is where we find ourselves today. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then they lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Oh, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Who does this fellow talk? Why does this fellow talk like that? And who is he?" I'm sure they were thinking that too. It's not in there, but they were thinking that. "He's blaspheming!" Exclamation point. "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Question mark. Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?' But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. Sorry, that's good. Okay, so that's for next thing. Yeah, we didn't get that. So this is a story, if you grew up in church, you heard this story. You probably heard it preached a million different ways and a million different things. And actually, if you were at New Abbey a few months ago, I literally preached on this topic. And it was before we got into Mark, and we were kind of doing a choose your own adventure thing. And so I was like, oh, I love this passage. And then when we were doing the preaching schedule, I was like, again? But the last time I talked about it, I had been thinking about it so much, and what really struck me was this reality. First of all, I think there's endless wisdom in these stories. That's why they're told like stories, right? Because it's beautiful, you see them from different angles. And something I had thought about that I hadn't thought about a lot prior was the reality that in our lives, we will be in the roles of many different people in that story. Like sometimes we will be the friends that believe so fiercely in the healing of the people around us that we dig a hole in a stranger's roof, okay, which is a wild thing to do. Sometimes we will be the friend, and sometimes we will be the person on the mat. And life is a team sport, and we are meant to do it together. And that's beautiful, and I still believe that. But today, what I want to talk about is a little bit of a different angle of what I've been thinking about in terms of the story. Before we get too into it, I just want to cover a few things. One, there's a lot of talk in this passage about sin, and if you grew up in the church, sometimes that word just has like a, ew, you know? And so I just want to make it very clear, this man was not having premarital sex. He was smoking cigarettes. But when we think about sin, sometimes we think about the list that the churches that we grew up gave us about the things you can't do, about the things that are bad. But the definition we use of sin at New Abbey is the palpable disruption of shalom. The palpable disruption of shalom, meaning the things in our life that disrupt the peace in our life or the peace of the lives of the people around us or the peace of the societies that we live in, those things that actively disruptive. There's no list because it's not the same for every one of us, but we know when we are experiencing it. Does that make sense? So get it out of your mind that there was some like naughty behavior being participated in, and get into the reality that this man was caught in some kind of cycle that he could not get himself out of, and that is far more relatable. So then he has these friends, they lower him down. And then he has this experience where he's healing. And here's why we have these stories. We have these stories because we're learning about what it means to follow Jesus. And to follow Jesus doesn't mean, okay, well now I just like say a prayer and Jesus can handle all the problems in my life, right? But rather we get to be students of the way Jesus lived and worked in the world. And the way that Jesus lived and worked in the world is that every single place that he went, healing happened. He was committed to healing people, everybody, no matter who you were, no matter what. Oh, you got a demon. Oh, you were caught doing this. Oh, you got this. Oh, you just busted a hole through my friend's roof. Fine. Healing, right? And that is what our lives, that's what we want our lives to be around. There's no one in this room that's like, I don't want my life to be about healing, right? We get to live in a world where we take that healing and that transformation, those ideas, and we live them out in practice. And one of the things that is so interesting to me is the authority with which Jesus always speaks. The authority with which he always feels like he can heal people. And the belief, the unshakable belief that all people are deserving of that healing. And then his unshakable lived into reality of bringing that healing. And what's interesting to me is I think that has to be a twofold thing. I think that we need to be unshakably sure that everyone around us deserves healing. And at the same time, I don't think we can get there unless we have an unshakable belief that we too deserve healing. The conversation I want to have this morning is I want to think about how different would it look, would our lives be, what would change if we believed that we deserved to be well. I think sometimes in the world, or just in my life, or maybe this is just my own problem, but it's a lot easier to believe things for other people than it is to believe for ourselves. But then I wonder if I can actually believe it for someone if I don't even believe it for myself. And I can say I want healing here, and I want this to happen in the world, and I want this. But I'm not so sure about my own dignity, about my own deserving of wellness, about my own deserving of health and healing. So what would it look like if we believe that we deserve to be well? That if we had the authority to say, I deserve to be well. Before I get too far in authority and start sounding like a prosperity gospel preacher, I'm like, you just deserve a house, and you claim it, and the house is yours. There is something to understanding authority. So much of the Gospels are someone, the teachers of the law, the powers that be of that day, the preachers, the scholars, asking Jesus, why do you feel like you have authority? Why do you talk like you have authority? How do you have the authority to do that? Who gave you the authority to do that? And always, he's like, I have it. I just believe that I have it. God gave it to me. I'm the son of whatever, right? And it's this reminder that I think we live in a world where we have endless authorities telling us what we can and can't do, but the reality is we have that authority for ourselves. Let me give you some examples. I talked about this a few months ago too, but every single person in history that I respect, that I admire, that I look up to, Jesus included, said F you to the authority that day and gave themselves their own authority. So do y'all think, do y'all think that Harriet Tubman went to her local authorities and said, excuse me, might I have some kind of written documentation that allows me to take some enslaved people and lead them to freedom? Maybe a permit, right? Do you think maybe just a note that says I could, maybe can you give me authority? No one gave her authority. She said, I believe so strongly in the dignity of myself and these people, I don't need authority from the teachers of the law. I don't need authority from my local officials. I don't need authority from the powers that be. I don't need these people telling me what to do. I'm going to take that authority for myself. Jesus walked in these towns and all the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the people that be, who gave you authority to heal these people? I gave myself, I have the authority. I'm walking in that authority because I believe so deeply in healing and dignity and transformation. Think of everyone in history who did something that moved the needle on healing and wholeness and transformation. It wasn't because someone gave them the authority to do so. They didn't say, Jesus, why do you have the authority? He's like, oh, because I just finished that degree. Oh, actually, here's a written no, because I have some kind of special power. I have this authority because I believe so deeply in human dignity that I don't need the powers that be to validate who I am. And I think something that's hard about living today is a lot of us grew up with so many external authorities that gave us our value, whether helpful or harmful, probably both. And now when we look to find that value, when we look to feel that authority, we're looking still to those external authorities. I say this all the time. I'm like, what does someone who on Fox News who thinks something about me have to do with me? I'm not looking to be validated by these people. And quickly, I want to point out there's a real difference between authority and power. There are some powers that be, and we need to fight against that. Those existed in this time. They exist in our time. And we always need to do what we can to bump up against those. But that's not where we get our value. The people who don't think we have dignity, the places in our life where the authorities told us that we weren't valuable, the people who didn't make us feel like we were worthy of being well, the people who didn't make us feel like we were whole for whatever reason, don't have authority over us. And I think what's hard sometimes is we engage in a lot of practices. We have friends who love us and dig holes in our roofs and they bring us. We have all these experiences with the divine and with friendship. But if we don't believe that we deserve to be well, I think it can only go so far. We can get up every single morning, we can have quiet time and read our Bible. Or you can fly to Brazil and do ayahuasca in the mountains. I know I'm talking to a diverse group. Or you can be on the budget-friendly version, do mushrooms in your backyard. It's, again, diverse group. You can go to therapy every week. And all of these things are great, by the way. But all of these things add to our healing when we have a deep and core belief in our own dignity and that we deserve to be well and that we have the authority to encounter divinity, to bring friendships around us, to go to therapy, to experience these journeys because we are deserving and worthy of healing. And that's a value that doesn't come from anything external. That's a value that doesn't come from that one voice that we heard one time. If this person just changed their mind about me, then I would feel different. I don't think that's true. It might be helpful. I would like some people to change their mind about some people. But I don't know that that is what is going to give me the value that I feel like I deserve to be well. I think that's an authority that we have to experience because we believe so deeply in our own dignity that we can't help but believe in the dignity of others. And that is how Jesus led the world. That is how Jesus created this healing and wholeness and transformation. I saw this, the stupidest TikTok. And this guy, all these friends held an intervention for their friend, this one guy in the friend group whose phone is always like dead or like low battery. It's always, and they did a whole thing. Like they came in, they had a sign, they all had letters and gave him, they all bought him like portable charging devices. They were like, we really, it was so dramatic and like also the kind of friend group I want to be a part of. And it was so funny and they were all like, we hate that we just can't get a hold of you or we, you know, whatever. And anyways, at the end of it, he was like, I love that for you, but I probably won't change it. It doesn't matter to me. Like, this isn't important to me. And I think there's just a little bit of truth to that. I think it was so sweet during Good News hearing so many of you talk about the importance of friendship and community. And I think we could have 400 friends lower us into 400 different kind of healing roofs, but if we don't believe that we deserve to be there at the end of it, I think there's a limit to what can happen in that space. All of these things are important. Go to therapy, get the healing, get the friendships, create the space, do all the things. And you have to find a way to take back your own internal authority that you deserve to be well. All of these things are not speaking into so you can get your value from them. They are adding on to the value that you experience. I used to get a lot of messages when I first came out that were like, how can you defend being gay and being a Christian? I'm like, defend to who? I'm just doing it. And if you don't like it, what am I going to defend? Because my value doesn't come from Lisa in Kansas not thinking I can hold both of these identities. And I really mean that because some of us have some Lisas from Kansas and we really hang on what they say. We really find these external, and we're like, as soon as she sees me, I can see myself. As soon as she, it's not outward in, it's inward out. This is similar to what Jaime said That happens in recovery rooms, but I only know it because RuPaul says it at the end of every episode of Drag Race. But if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get an amen? And that's how I know some of y'all aren't reading your scriptures. And the scriptures are RuPaul's Drag Race. But sometimes the wounds that we experience that keep ourselves from feeling that value and that dignity came from external authority. And so in trying to heal them, we go to a new external authority. And I think we need to go inward and find our own authority. You know, I think it's funny sometimes how many friends, like, they leave the church. I'm like, of course, because it's kind of crazy. But then they're like, yeah, that pastor, man, I couldn't do it. But, like, now everything Brené Brown says is gospel. And listen, that's no shade to Brené Brown because I love her. But we just replace one external authority with another. Instead of saying, oh, as soon as this church leader finds my value, I'll be okay. Now it's like, if Glennon Doyle says it, it's oh, I'm okay. You know, if this person, and we're just exchanging these external authorities. And all of these things are good, and we love people speaking into our lives, and I love podcasts, and I love all these things. But if we can't think it for ourselves, if we're looking for that, it's not going to lead to the kind of healing that we get to experience, that Jesus talks about, that we are looking to experience, that really comes from internally. And if we can't experience for ourselves, we can't experience it and do it for, you get it. Because you know where I was going. And that's been something that I've been thinking about a lot and even preparing for the conversation, our Starry Night, about how to disagree. Is there really is so much, there's so much noise right now. Like, the most noise. Like, historically, I think, unprecedented amount of noise in our lives. And most of that noise has something to say about us, right? If you just go on any app, okay? Any app. I'm not calling any of the apps by name, okay? But you know the ones. I'm just kidding. But truly, Amazon is like, here's things you need because you need things and you're not good enough. Instagram, here's someone's life who's better than you. Or here's someone who's saying something about you. Or here's someone who's shaming you because you don't understand something that happened in the world. Or TikTok, it's like, here's a cool group of friends that are having an intervention for a low phone battery. Why aren't your friends doing that? And then you're scrolling and you're just doing all these things. Or you're on like Hinge, Bumble, Grindr. Grind Her, which is a lesbian hookup app. I am looking for investors to start. So everyone who got a raise, find me after. That was an insane detour. But every noise in our life, all of the external authorities in our life are telling something about us, and they're not telling us what we need to know. They're not giving us the best messages, and that's fine, and that's okay. If we believe that we deserve to be well, I think we will engage with those things differently. Believing that you deserve to be well, it doesn't mean that now you can't address the powers that be, or you can't fight for justice, or you can't have like be on the apps, or you can't look at social media. It just means you engage in all of it in a different way. You engage in your friendships in a different way. You create different boundaries. Maybe you do the same things. Maybe you do the quiet time. Maybe you still fly to Brazil. Maybe you're in therapy. Maybe you're listening to podcasts. All of these things are still great, but it has to come from the source of you believing so much in your own dignity that you deserve, think that you deserve to be well. You believe that you deserve to be well. Got it. Period. And so that's what I want to say today. I really felt... And I have really been thinking and feeling like all these external authorities, all these things, we're never going to find our dignity in them. They don't have the authority to give us value. They can certainly add a ton. But if we don't believe that we deserve to be well, there's always going to be a limit to what healing we're going to experience. No matter how good our friends are, no matter how good the trip was, no matter how good the therapy is, no matter how much EMDR we do. There's always going to be a limit if we don't believe that we deserve the healing that those things can help aid us in. The external authorities, they're great, but they are not everything. And we have to hold them accordingly. So you're going to grab the same three or four people around you and ask this a question. Where in your life do you deserve to be well? Enjoy. Enjoy.